Shalom, and welcome to Kehilat Rosh Pinah, a dynamic, multicultural, and growing Messianic Jewish congregation located in the heart of Oklahoma City and led by Rabbi Michael Weigand. Our goal is to bring you the message of the Word each week from a Jewish perspective and to exalt the Messiah Yeshua as Lord and Savior over all. We are a loving congregation made up of both Jew and Gentile, now one in the Messiah, with Shabbat morning services at 10:40 a.m., and various studies throughout the week. Please come and join us next time you are in Oklahoma City. We would love to have you. And now, we hope you enjoyed today's message.
Have there been any among us who have been watching the Olympics? If you have and you want to, okay, somebody, yeah, me too, I watched some of it, time permitting, and we know that there's always that, the joy of a victory when someone who worked hard and in their particular skill area, and man, if you think about the Olympics, they used to be very simple when they were first instituted by the Greeks. A little bit of abyssal running, a little bit of running, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but now it's everything from trampoline to 4x200 medleys and whatever all those are. But as you can imagine in any type of sporting event, there is a difference between victory and I'm not going to call it defeat, because everyone who made it to Olympics, that's a victory. I mean, think about it. Maybe has anyone here been elected or made to the Olympics? I don't think so. I have met one or two over the years. But so it's not really a defeat, but there's a difference with that gold medal, and let's put it in these terms, from the gold to the non-medal area. And again, I'm not saying that those that made it to the Olympics are defeated. No, that's not the point. And we have been especially rooting for Israel. And we only got one bronze medal so far, but we're rooting for Israel. Our family was last night was particularly rooting for Israel in a couple of events. But Hashanah Ba'ah, maybe next year, maybe next time. Victory. I want to speak to us today about what I call the victory gap. And I'll explain that term, at least as I'm stating it here today, the victory gap. The Kitvei HaKodesh, the holy scriptures, the holy writings, literally, and when I say that I'm referencing from the book of Bereshit, Genesis, all the way up to Revelation, the Bible, attest one way or the other, as you read through it, it attests to the people of God experiencing victory. Sometimes overcoming some pretty dramatic stuff, but experience victory, even as that oftentimes, and this may be relatable to you, you may catch this, oftentimes we go through some challenges and some trials along life's way. Does that sound familiar to you? Has your life had some trials and challenges? Probably the answer is yes. But this theme of victory is repeated from Genesis to Revelation in different manners, in different ways, with different personage involved, different people involved. So please listen to these verses from the scripture. We may have the over. We had trouble with PowerPoint this morning, I might tell you. That was what with the internet was the issue this morning. But please listen to these scriptures. I don't know if we'll have a overhead for them. And these are scriptures that express there is victory in the Lord for the people of the Lord. For example, Yochanan, John chapter 16, verse 33 says, Yeshua told his followers, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." I'm glad that the sentence doesn't stop there, aren't you? "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." There's a word for some of us. Be of good cheer. Let's get rid of the sourpuss stuff and let's recognize what Messiah has done for us, and let's walk with joy. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit, and with gladness for so great a salvation. He says, be of good cheer, and he gives the reason why we should be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 20, verse 4, when Moses is talking to Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, he's saying these words to them as they're about to enter into a battleground. The battleground would come as they cross the Har Yarden, the Jordan River, and then they have to defeat the foes, the enemies, that were living in Eretz Israel, the land of Canaan. Over and over again, and this is just one example of numerous passages, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4, Moshe tells them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against, notice, your enemies, lehoshiyatchem, it says in Hebrew, lehoshiyatchem, to save you. Tehillim, Psalm 108, verse 13 says, some of you have this memorized, and it is a good song. Through God we will do valiantly. And then the next phrase, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39, one of my favorite passages. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then this passage, verse 30, it's a beautiful passage. Rav Shaul being revealing, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Some translation says, who always leads us in the victory procession. Always leads us in triumph. How? In Messiah Yeshua, in Jesus the Messiah. And through us, as New King James says, diffuses or manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Do you realize where you go as a believer, you're bringing a fragrance with you? I hope it's fragrance you're bringing with you. That points to Yeshua the Messiah. And how about 1 Yochanan chapter 5? We're studying 1 John on Tuesday night. We've got to chapter 3, verse 1, beginning with verse 1 this Tuesday. 1 Yochanan, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 say this, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And then there's this statement. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Friend, are you a believer in Yeshua the Messiah today, Jesus the Messiah? This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God? This is the one who overcomes the world. Do you believe that Yeshua is the Ben Elohim, the Ben HaYachid, the unique, only begotten Son of God? This is what overcomes the world, a revelation and a knowledge of him. And a deeper dive into the victory available to God's people reveals the triumph comes. We have victory, it comes, the triumph comes because of what Messiah has done for us. There's the power keg of victory. We in ourselves, in our own strength, could not save even our own soul. But to point out how powerful Yeshua, Jesus' redemption was, when he laid down his life, that avails for all the world to those who have placed their trust in him. It's like me placing here a gift with a big bow on it and saying it's available to you. Well, who actually receives that gift is the one that comes up and grabs hold of it. And we need to grab hold of our Messiah deep in our hearts, receive the gift of God, which is Messiah Yeshua that leads on to eternal life. Now, right now, the Olympics, they're having gold medals and silver medals and bronze medals and tears and joy and everything. But can you imagine what's going to happen when our Messiah returns and his people are gathered onto him and his glory is revealed? It says, Ve'ra'u kol basar yachtav, all eyes, all flesh shall see it together. That's what Isaiah said. That's what awaits. And right now there's a gap. Scripture's talking about victory, but our lives sometimes we feel like we're walking through the valley. Yeah, I know we have times when we are on the mountaintop and we just feel great and everything's going well, but there are those other times. Could be sickness, death, trouble at the workplace, academic issues, personal issues. And those things, there's a gap between our experience and the victory that Scripture portrays. But the message is clear. It's God that grants victory to his people. And he's the one that intervenes. He's probably intervened in your life more ways than you're aware. He's the one that empowers. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that provides for us. Do you think you're providing for you? It's God that provides. All things belong to him, and he's faithful and merciful to us. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that defends his people. And I could go on and on describing what he actually does for his people. It would seem with such sure testimony, and it is a sure testimony of ultimate victory, that the Lord will return and his people will be fully redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. That full testimony of victory in God's word and also with his powerful enablement to our lives, it would seem like our daily lives would be a little bit easier, but at times they're not. Some of our days can be difficult. Easy street is not always the street we're going down in our life. Sometimes it's quite difficult. And if you would please listen to one of the starkest transitions that I've been able to find in the New Covenant. That means from verse to verse to verse, there's this transition that occurs. I'll read you a segment of it. See if you can notice the transition. It's from the writings of none other than Rav Shaul Paul the Apostle. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, and try to notice the transition that occurs here. There's more to it. If you really want to look at all this chapter, it's even greater, a more stark transition. He starts out in verse 4. We're picking it up in a little ways down into the chapter. He says, he writes, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness." Wow, light shining out of darkness. "Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah." Wow. Light out of darkness, shining light into our hearts, the knowledge of the glory of the Messiah, as he expressed it, in the face of Messiah, Yeshua. And then verse 7. And so often these verses start with that big word, B-U-T, but. But we have this treasure, notice the transition, we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels, referencing our own frame. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And then there's a further transition, which is actually quite deep and long, but I'll only read one passage so you get a sense of it. We start out at verse 6, "God commanded light out of the darkness, shone in the hearts the glory of God in the face of Messiah. Then there's the word but, treasure in an earthen vessel. And then there's this, and it's quite a long section, but here's the first part of it. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side. How many of you see the transition there from verse 6 to verse 8? Light of Messiah, we're hard pressed. That gap of expression there. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And he goes on and lists a number of issues that they're facing, that he's facing. And it seems like he's also speaking about the shlichim, the other apostles he's in cahoots with, working with. So he continues in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, describing the experience of being in the world, but to use 1 John terminology, being in the world but not of the world, of facing trials. He speaks about these things with quite a bit of detail, considering everything. Yet in the midst of such trials, as Rav Shul lists, that he expresses how he's marvelously experiencing the life of Yeshua in the midst of trials, experiencing the power and the love and the all-sufficient grace that Messiah gives. How many of you know that his grace is sufficient for your life? You're not beyond the grace of God, no matter what's happening in your life right now. If you're astray from the Lord, get back with the Lord. His grace is sufficient. If you feel like you're just floundering and you don't know what you're going to do in life, get to the Lord. His grace is sufficient to guide you. If you feel like the walls of the room in your life are coming in upon you, go to the Lord. He's your strength. He will help you. He will grant you victory as you trust him. What is the victory that overcomes the world? As we just read, it is our faith, our trust in him. That means we can carry trust. When the days are good, we trust in him. When the days are difficult, what do? We remain consistent. We trust in him. So Rav Shaul, facing all the trials that he did, and man, he did face a lot of trials, he realized, and God finally spoke to him later in 2 Corinthians, it says, and he beseeched the Lord. He asked the Lord about a particular issue that he had. He said he entreated the Lord three times about it. And how does God respond to it? It's a famous statement. The Lord responds to him, my power is perfected in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. Eventually, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, culminates at the end of the chapter with these very significant verses, especially in the context of what we've been reading. Verse 17, I love how he says it, for our light affliction. Read the list before this. But in comparison to the eternal weight of glory, but in comparison to all the great things God has stored up for those who love him, all that Rav Shaul expresses about all that he'd been going through, he says, our light affliction, one translation says, our momentary light affliction, which is but for a moment, as this one continues, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. The affliction going through can lead to glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How many of us, and I'm putting both hands up on this one, have focused our eyes on the world around us or the circumstance we're facing or the people that are giving us issues, etc., and we focused our eyes on them and we forgot to look to him who is our victory and grants us victory. While we do not look at the things which are seen but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Could it be that the secret of bridging the gap of our ongoing personal challenges and the victory God has bequeathed to his people involves not focusing on the challenges? And we're apt to do that. Not focusing on the challenges, but instead keeping the eyes of our heart, our inner man, our inner being. What's happening, you know, the vision inside that I spoke about a couple weeks ago, the eyes of our heart fixed upon Yeshua, who's the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. The gap between what God has given us through the sacrifice of his son, Yeshua, that gap, and what we experience daily, which you know what that means in your life, your daily experience. It's not all bad. It's probably not all good. It's probably challenges at times. What we experience daily could be viewed in a number of ways. That gap between the victory we know that's been given to us, but the reality we're living, there's a gap there. I have chosen to call it the victory gap because I tend to be a positive person. I hope you are too. I don't want to call it the gap of defeat, because ultimately victory is ours in Messiah Yeshua. He has redeemed us body, soul, and spirit, and he's bequeathed unto us because of his shed blood eternal life. And wherein is the victory? Our faith, our trust in him. So that gap between what God has given us through the sacrifice of his son and what we experience daily could be viewed in a number of ways. You may term it something different. I call it the victory gap. Why? Why do I call it that? I call that because ultimately victory lies in store for the people of God, and we can walk in victory now knowing there's ultimate victory. We don't have to be a slave to our struggles. We don't have to be a slave to our personal issues. We don't have to be a slave to everything that seems to come into our lives. But we do need to be a servant of the Most High God, regardless of what comes into our lives. Are you there? Is that what you want? You want to be his servant regardless of your circumstance? We may wake up in the morning and not fear well, but we're still his servant. We may wake up in the morning and after some coffee and some nice, you know, whatever, we feel great. We're still his servant. We go to work and the day starts out terribly. We're still his servant. We go to work and the day couldn't be better. The boss gives you a raise. They're patting you on the back. You're still his servant. And you have to work late that night, and you had plans, and you feel terrible. You want to punch the wall. Don't do it. You're his servant. You're an example to others. You get off early that day, and they hand you that raise they promised you. You're his servant there, too. Do you get the point? It was said by David in Psalm 119, and I'm not going to read all of Psalm 119. That was supposed to be funny, by the way. Anybody ever read all of Psalm 119? Okay, Christopher, yay. I'm not going to do that to you today. I'm just going to quote you one section. It's repeated more than once. David said this about himself. He said, "I am your servant." Can you say that about yourself towards the Lord? Can you say to him with a full heart, when things go well and things go bad, can you pronounce and say, "I am your servant"? As we come to that place in our life, we fill that victory gap. That gap that exists between what we know lies ahead, the victory, the eternal victory we have in Messiah Yeshua through the forgiveness of our sins, and everything else in covenantal promise, and the reality sometimes we face when we wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or the boss is mean, or whatever, we get an F in our grades. The gap is filled by, I am your servant, O Lord. I am your servant. If our focus is wrong, it will show up. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Friends, that doesn't give excuses for you to blame someone else because of your lack of spirituality or your lack of victory. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do what? For his good pleasure. His good pleasure. So life is not all about us. Who's it all about? Him. It's about him. There's where victory lies. Where's victory? Victory comes from the Lord. There's where it lies. If our focus is wrong, that gap can seem insurmountable between what we know God has bequeathed unto us and what we're experiencing. It can seem almost insurmountable. We may even come up with this thought like, how's he ever going to do this in my life? I can't seem to overcome that sin. I can't seem to go forward. I keep going three steps back. Maybe the focus is wrong there. In fact, I believe it is. Because the focus is not on you. It shouldn't be upon yourself. It should be upon him who lives and ever lives and rules and is coming back again, who has the power to change us and is actively, as it says, it is God who works in you. Philippians 2:13, both to will so that you'll desire and you'll do his good pleasure. That's what he's doing. Now, I do have a gap issue, and I'll share with you before I conclude here. A serious gap issue has developed in my life. It's in my backyard. This past storm, the cold weather, we had a beautiful tree in our backyard. It was I really loved it, and my wife didn't like it so much, but it bit the dust. How many of you know what that term means, to bite the dust? Well, it became sawdust is what I'm saying. It bit the dust. And that beautiful shade tree with all the leaves that helped cool down one section of our house is now kaput. It's not there anymore. But there's also no grass there where it was, because we have Bermuda grass, and all the shade kept killing back that grass. So I looked out after the tree, after the workers came and removed the tree, I looked out to our lawn, and there was this huge gap. And on one side, there was Bermuda grass. On the other side, there was Bermuda grass. And in between was mud when it rained. That was my issue. What do I do? Now, there's an easy solution. Go out and buy some seed and throw it in there and all that stuff. But I decided not to do that. I began thinking about how grass grows. It's really a glorified weed, right, Jacob? How grass grows and what it needs. So I decided to make it a project, hoping that by the sound of the first trumpet blast for Rosh Hashanah this year, that the gap will be filled. Rosh Hashanah Yom Teruah is, I think it's September 6th, something like that. So we're working on it. And I realized that Bermuda grass needs certain elements to fill the gap. It needs light, sun, warmth. It needs some nutrients. Of course, it needs good soil to grow in. So despite much input from others about how to work with the gap, that gaping gap that every time I looked out at our little backyard, I saw it, I decided to go that way. Let's see what we can do with it. Because on one side there was grass, and on the other side there was grass, but there was a gap. So I started watering it, watering the grass around it, watering the gap. I started also fertilizing. I want to tell you, friends, that that gap is almost gone now. I've watched it. It's been a lesson for me. Please don't think you've got such a gap in your life that God can't fill that gap. Please don't think your experience is so far off that God's grace is not sufficient for you, because what began to happen with the light and the water and the soil and the sun and care was I started noticing these, and we do have some people that do landscaping here, and I'm sorry to bring work to the Shabbat for you, but I started to notice these little, I'm going to call them tentacles, that's not the right word, but these little tentacles of Bermuda growing from both sides. And I was a happy camper. And I thought, yesh tikva, there is hope. Yesh tikva. So I kept going at it. You know, I didn't stop. In fact, I have not stopped. That gap is almost gone now. I'm a little bit amazed. Was it that simple? The right ingredients and time did it? It's amazing. But those little tentacles became two and three, and they started interacting. And now you can walk on. I actually mow part of it now. And believe me, it was a muddy mess beforehand. The gap was 12 feet one direction and about 8 feet the other direction from the shade tree. Friends, if you have a gap in your life, you're not walking as you should be, you better start giving the right nutrients to your spirit. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Make sure that you do the three things, and many of you have heard me say this, I call it the three-legged stool of spirituality. Make sure that you do not cut yourself off from prayer, the Word, and fellowship. The moment you start doing that, you're depriving your spiritual being, yourself, of nutrients, spiritual nutrients. And you may think, oh, I can get by without those things. Really? You know how many people I've seen fall by the wayside because they thought they were greater than those three things which God instituted? Does He not say, pray without ceasing? Does He not say, do not forsake the assembling together of yourself, as is the habit of some? And does He not say how many passages of Scripture about His Word, Psalm 119, which I didn't read before, is all about His Word? The entrance of your Word gives light. By your Word I'm strengthened, over and over again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in, notice these nutrients, I'm going to call them in our context, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. What are the right spiritual nutrients for a woman or man of God? The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the connecting points such as generosity, the willingness to forgive and not hold a grudge, loyalty. How important is loyalty? It's extremely important. Are you loyal to the Lord when no one's looking? Are you loyal to your fellow believers? Are you loyal to your husband and wife? Are you loyal to your family? Loyalty is a big. Are you loyal to your congregation? Loyalty is a big thing. How about a willingness to volunteer? You might say, well, I don't know. Scripture really talks about that. Yeshua exemplified that. He willingly gave His life for us. I don't know. I personally don't need a bigger example of volunteering than that. He said, no one takes my life from me. I give it willingly. Blessed be His name. 1 Timothy chapter 4 concludes in verse 16 with these words, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine or the sound teaching. Take heed to those things. The next thing is an action verb, continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Doing these type of things will fill in the victory gap, and you'll come out with victory. So to summarize, and I'll conclude with this summary, three main points here today. Number one, yes, at times there is a chasm between where we are now in our spiritual journey and where we will end up by God's grace. There's a chasm there, a gap. Number two, the chasm is not a sign of defeat. It is a gap the Lord will fill with his resounding victory as we follow our Messiah in newness of life onto the day of Messiah's return. That we keep pressing on, as Rob Shul said. So friends, don't give up. No matter what you're facing today, don't give up. Get the right nutrients into your spiritual life. Get rid of the bad stuff and get the right nutrients in your spiritual life. And don't expect to have the right fruit in your life if you're not planting the right seeds in your soil. And lastly, point three, we should do all that we can, everything we can, to assure that we grow in the Lord. Do what you can to grow in the Lord. And make sure that as we do so, we encourage others to do the same thing. It's one of the great benefits of fellowshipping together is that we can encourage one another. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we praise you this day. Thank you for victory in Messiah Yeshua. Because without him, it was curtains. It is sure defeat. It is death and separation from you. As your word says, he who has the Son of God, Yeshua, has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. The wrath of God abides on him. Lord, we thank you for Yeshua, your Holy Son, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the victory you give us. And Lord, I pray you will help each one of us, each person hearing these words, you will help us to walk in victory, to fill that victory gap, and to remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your work, the work of your kingdom. And I ask these things, knowing we need your empowerment by the Holy Spirit to do so. Amen.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message from Rosh Pinah Messianic Jewish Congregation in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We would love to have you visit us. Our weekly services begin at 10:40 a.m. each Shabbat, and we are located at 2600 Northwest 55th Place, north of Northwest Expressway at the corner of Northland Avenue and Northwest 55th Place. We meet each Shabbat for wonderful praise and worship with dance, liturgy, teaching, food, fellowship, excellent children's programs, and Bible studies on Tuesday nights. For more information, please visit our website, www.roshpinah.org. That's roshpinah.org. You can also reach us by phone at 405-842-1967 or email us at info@roshpinah.org. Thank you for spending time in the Word with us today. Shabbat Shalom and blessings in Messiah Yeshua.